There is no indication of him praying or arguing with God, as do other great men of faith. And why on the ship is he sleeping in the hold when everybody else is praying to their gods? I find it interesting that it's not until the captain of the ship ordered Jonah to pray that he even does. Why doesn't he suggest to the captain to turn the ship around and pray to God to calm the storm? Why does he not pray to God, promising to go to Nineveh, instead of telling the crew to throw him overboard? Which you remember, of course, the crew resisted right to the last. It seems it wasn't until Jonah was seconds from death, when he'd been thrown overboard, that he even thought about talking to God. Again, I think Jonah's had his understanding of God broadened in that his prayer was answered and he realised that God was everywhere and he could talk to him any time. And thirdly, we see he wanted God to act in Israel's interest. Skipping ahead, in chapter 4, we see that Jonah was angry with God because the Ninevites turned from their evil ways to avoid calamity. Jonah wanted God to destroy the Ninevites. Jonah still only saw God as God of the Jews, not God of every nation. Jonah wanted God to act in ways that benefited only Israel. He had a nationalistic view of God. Jonah's view of God was skewed. Jonah didn't understand that God was the God of the whole world, land, sea, and all nations. Which, of course, was Jesus' view, as he quoted Isaiah 56, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Again, Jonah had his understanding of God broadened to understand God was the God of all people. For me, all of these show that Jonah was stuck in wrong thinking about God. But that being said, God did not give up on Jonah. He was still on his case and wanted him to have a better knowledge of who he was. You could say, recalculating the route. Jonah's prayer in chapter 2 shows it is never too late to focus on God and talk to him. Even if we haven't got everything right or our view of God is wanting, God will and does listen, even while we are a work in progress. God still listens. From Jonah's prayer in chapter 2, we can still see the following things which show that even Jonah has more to learn. Verse 3 in Jonah's prayer, "For you cast me into the deep." Hold on, Jonah, who threw you into the deep? He blames God. And then in verse 4, when he said, "I'm driven away from your sight." Excuse me, Jonah, wasn't it you who ran away? And verse 7, "When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord." Jonah still doesn't know you can think of God at any time. So what can we learn from all of this? Jonah was considered a prophet and grew up as a Jew, and yet he had an incomplete view of who God was. Similarly, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees' theology inhibited them seeing Jesus, who he really was. It inhibited them seeing Jesus as the Messiah. And is it possible that, like Jonah, our knowledge of God is incomplete, misleading, or incorrect? Is it possible that we have put God in a box, or created a box and squeezed him into it? Or have we projected our human responses, our human nature, onto God? Is it possible that we have become so rigid in our views of God that unintentionally we ignore God or restrict what he can do in our lives or place boundaries beyond God, beyond which God cannot go? So how does God get us to open our minds so that we can have a better appreciation of him? What options does God have open to him if our views are such? Is it possible that God takes us through difficult times purely so that he can change our view of him, just as he did with Jonah? And just as God gave Jonah a mission, what would our response be if God gave us a mission? And what happens if we keep responding like Jonah? And it made me think of Jesus' parable in Matthew 25, where a master gives bags of gold to the servants and goes away. And on his return, the servant with five bags has made five more bags of gold. And the servant with two more bags of gold. And both of these were praised, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things." However, the one with one bag of gold did nothing with that. He did nothing with the bag he was given. He just hid it. And he was severely reprimanded, and what he had was taken from him. Excuse me. Just as Jesus coached the first disciples, firstly calling them, then letting them watch him, then getting involved, and then sending them out in pairs, I think Jesus treats us in a similar way. When we decided to follow Jesus, did he challenge us to change an unhelpful habit into a good habit? To start speaking truth? To start using clean language? To start being supportive of others, etc., etc.? And what might be the next challenge God gives us? Is it to live in a way that reflects the way Jesus lives? Does God want us to help someone, to pray for someone, to bless someone with a card or an email? Is there someone we need to forgive? Is there something we promised to do but haven't? Etc., etc. But what happens if we don't respond? Does God send us around the loop again so that we have another chance? Is it like the person with the one bag of gold who does nothing with it? Without being faithful in these small areas, can God trust us in other areas? We might not experience these things in a linear way, but I hope you get the understanding, the concept of Jesus leading us and developing us as disciples. And finally, a confession, but first a question. When was the last time you saw a man with dark, shortish hair, a red top, blue jeans, walking along the pavement with his left leg in plaster and using the old-style wooden crutches that go up under your arm? Ever seen anyone? Really, very rarely, possibly never. Okay. Now the confession. About 12 years ago, my wife Claire and I went on a Christian conference, and one of the workshops was on healing, and this included testimonies of people who had been healed. Anyway, before we broke for lunch, we were all challenged to spend a few minutes in prayer, asking God if there was somebody we should pray for. Well, while I was praying, I had a vivid picture in my mind of, guess what, a man with dark, shortish hair, red top, blue jeans, walking along the pavement with his left leg in plaster and using the old-style wooden crutches that go under your arms. So as we had sandwiches with us, we went outside the church and sat on some benches to break and for a break and consume our lunch. And while I was there, guess what? 50 metres away was a chap with dark hair, shortish hair, a red top, blue jeans, walking along the pavement with his leg in plaster. And guess what? He was using the old-style wooden crutches, which, of course, you don't get these days. The implication was obvious. This chap God wanted to talk to. But what was my response? Pretty stark. I was frozen. How should I approach this man? What would I say? What if I offended him? What would his response be? Would he think I was a complete wally? And what if I prayed for him and nothing happened? Did I have the wrong view of God? And what other excuses could I think of quickly? Because the longer I could procrastinate means this person would go and I wouldn't be able to catch up with him. The result was I failed. Jonah, I understand why you ran. Was I the servant with one bag of gold? Fundamentally, I didn't trust God. I didn't trust God that he would communicate with me in that way, that he would communicate with me directly. But what if I had prayed for the man? What could that have led to in that man's life? As I've looked back over this, I regret my approach again and again for not approaching the chap. And since then, I've worked out, if it happened again, what could I say to avoid embarrassment? What nice ways could you approach someone? Excuse me. I've had a thought about you. I think God wants to say something to you. It's gone through my head many times. What it has meant is that since that time, I've tried to respond to God's prompting when it comes. I don't want to be the servant with one bag of gold who finishes up with nothing. So possibly there are some things that we can learn from Jonah. Firstly, not letting our preconceived ideas about God limit us, or alternatively, limit God. Allow God to open our minds. Maybe there's something he wants to talk to us about, or change how we see him. God may ask us to do something for him, but remember that God may be using this to change us as well. Be willing to trust God and take chances. Do we really trust God to take chances? And also to keep our dialogue with God continually open. Do we just restrict it to prayers when we think, oh, I'm going to pray? Or are we continually in dialogue with God? And also, let's not forget that God blesses small offerings. It was the latest two small coins that Jesus praised because they were all she had and they were blessed. God will bless any offering that we give him. So to finish with, let's just close our eyes and just spend a few moments considering if God is saying anything to us this evening. Is there anything where we have been blanking God? Heavenly Father, I don't want to be the person who takes your bag of gold and hides it. Lord, help us be the people that really do trust you. Lord, break through our minds, our hearts, our souls, that we meet with you and see your full glory. The God who made everything, the God who made everything beautiful, who was amazing in everything he did and does. Lord, open our hearts to you, that we might meet afresh with you. And Lord, as we just sang in one of the songs, that our hearts would be ablaze with songs for you. Through this evening, through the week to come, and through the rest of our lives. Amen.